This is the Fantasy Focused Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, welcome to Fantasy Focused Baseball. It's a beautiful Monday morning, September 25th, 2017. I am Eric. He is Tristan, and we've got the normal crew here with us, Kyle the Monster Soppy, and Mishu the button-pushing producer, Robbie A., and of course, editorial watchdog Leo is here to spread his joy as well. This is the final week of the season, gentlemen, of the regular season, and of our show. So we're going to preview the week best we can, talk about Bryce Harper, who's back, and talk about a player or two who's not back, or maybe his back is a problem. I just thought of that.
I see where you're going there.
Yeah, I didn't mean to, but how are you, sir? Nice weekend, I hope?
It was a good weekend. It's really, really weird to see that we're down to the last seven scheduled regular season games.
And I'm going to miss it.
And by the way, 105 start today, in case somehow you're listening to this before that.
It's possible. Mishu gets the show
moving. Get those lineups in right now, and then come back to us. Come back to us.
I mean, he doesn't care what we say. He just pushes it right through, and it gets up. So
that is right. No editing needed for you two.
Let's just dip the show in batter and deep fry it.
Ooh. That sounds good to me.
Yes, everything's better fried.
Everything's better with the buzz. All right, we'll start with a happy name instead of a dour one. Bryce Harper of the Nationals is back today. Tristan, over under 12 plate appearances this week.
I like your number. I'm going to go over.
Okay, and is he worth activating in a weekly?
Yes. Yes. I will say so. I do think it would be a good idea for them to get him 15-ish plate appearances just as a way of shaking the rust, getting the timing together for the playoffs.
Okay. What are we going to do with Harper next year? Is he top 10? Or is he brittle now? Well, a lot of people treated him as brittle to start with.
If we sit down and try and put the 10 names ahead of him, I think we'll run out. I think he's going to make it in there. But the injury reputation is worth a debate.
Bryce Harper or Charlie Blackmon?
I think you got to go Blackmon. If he stays in the same situation, the team remains pretty deep in the offense, then, yeah, I think it's Blackmon.
Bryce Harper, Anthony Rizzo?
There I would go Harper.
Bryce Harper, J.D. Martinez?
Harper again.
But you see what I'm getting at.
I want to see where Martinez goes.
Let's presume Martinez stays in Arizona. They made the playoffs. He was unbelievable for them. They're going to want him back. They need corner outfielders. So I'm going to assume that J.D. Martinez sticks around in Phoenix.
Oh, a follow-up question to that then. Do they implement the humidor in Chase Field for next year from day one? I think that also comes a little bit into play here.
Let's assume like there's no humidor. Where are Goldschmidt and J.D. Martinez in Arizona going next year?
Well, Goldschmidt's definitely ahead of Harper. Goldschmidt's going to be one of the first.
He's top
three,
five still.
Right, he'll be for one of the first three, four picks, I'd say.
Okay.
Martinez is probably still not going to move ahead of Harper. Maybe we should be drafting him ahead of him if he remains exactly there. The circumstances, ballpark wise, stay exactly the same. Can certainly make that case, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could. I mean, obviously, things can change, and the humidor could change things. I mean, if there's a humidor, Zach Greinke might be the number five pitcher off the board.
Yeah.
I mean, over Bumgarner, over Chris Archer, anybody else we can come up with, Darvish?
Or it could make only a minimal difference whatsoever.
I'm not going to overrate it. Honestly, if that happens, I hadn't even thought about it before the show, but I don't think I'm going to do much about it. Goldschmidt's still going to be my top five. J.D. Martinez is probably going to be, I would think, in my 15 to 20 range right now. That's where it feels like he belongs. Mm-hmm. That's a monster season he had.
Yeah.
I mean, you want a four-category guy. He's not going to run, but, I mean, the power's legit.
Right.
He hit a ton of home runs in Arizona, and I don't think it was because it was a contract year. I think it's just because he's really, really good.
Oh, I think it's a great situation for his raw ability.
Perfect spot for him, right?
Yep. He's very good with hitting to the opposite field, and I don't think that most of his homer breakdown really lost much from the high fence in center field. He hits him to left. He hits him to right. This is a great ballpark for his skills.
All right, Miguel Cabrera has two herniated discs in his back. I presume he's not playing this week, but they didn't announce, you know, what they were going to do there. But you shouldn't have had him active anyway. He hasn't played well all season long. He's the number 47 first baseman on the player rater.
Such an awful supporting cast, too.
I mean, it was pretty obvious he was hurt all year.
Well,
so
yes.
I thought at least.
I appreciate the explanation, though, now.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that we find out something was wrong, but now this clouds things for next year. Now people are going to say, assuming he's healthy, he's back to the guy with 38 home runs and batted 300 in 2016. My blog entry was about him today, and it was about the least valuable players in fantasy for the season, which, of course, needs context because it's based on where you – based on what you needed to do to secure them to your team, whether it was a second-round pick or – like, Ian Desmond can't be on that list. He was a 13th-round pick. Has to be somebody you drafted early, you traded a ton for, and Cabrera never even left the lineup. Like, at least a lot of these other guys who got in – like, Noah Syndergaard at least left your lineup in May. You know, you knew you had to, you know, DL him.
Yeah.
Cabrera never did.
Left him in there for all those horrible starts. And, yeah, I contributed probably a good share to that, so shame on me.
Well, you know, yeah. But where are you going to rank him now? Because let's assume in March he's healthy.
Is well, he... why should we assume he's healthy?
Well, because I want you to. Because I want to. Because that's the best case scenario for today, September 25th.
I politely decline and let you answer it.
Well,
I'm not kidding. I don't think that's a fair assumption to make. I think that throw the number 100 for the overall rankings, and I think that's a very worthy bait just to start, and it might be pushed down substantially from there. I don't think you can ignore
it. So based on what we know now, I wouldn't have him in the top 100 based on what we know now.
I think it's very difficult to make the case. If you're, as you said, if you're going to make me assume he's fully healthy, then all right, I think I need to consider the top 100. But I think that's a very large leap.
Say in March we find out he's healthy. He's still going to be 35 either way. Him or Jose Abreu? Like, we keep using the Abreu versus Rhys Hoskins angle here. I mean, Hoskins is a decade younger than Cabrera. I don't know how I could possibly make the case, even if he's 100% healthy, for Cabrera over Abreu, who's consistent every year, and Hoskins, who looks like a future monster.
I can't begin to make the case. It's
okay.
Abreu.
All right. Well, I just wanted to check.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we had already downgraded Cabrera before this news, even if he was healthy for next season. I mean, Abreu, like you said, he's been very consistent and a very underrated year.
Dylan Bundy season is over. Your thoughts on him? I know we discussed him quite a bit this season. But really good year. It's a hamstring injury. Orioles are out of the race. There's no reason to push him. Even the Orioles realized that and shut him down.
He wasn't scheduled anyway. I mean, I think it was wise of them to do that. They had five games this week. It's the only team with that. That's an awful schedule. Awful.
Where are you ranking him next year? Top 30?
I would like to, yes. I think in that ballpark, that division... a little bit of uncertainty he can get to 200 innings, it's going to be hard to make the top 30 case, but I'd like to do it. The upside is certainly in there. I think he's going to end up in that with a 3 at the beginning of his ranking.
In the 30s. Okay.
Yeah,
I could see that happening. If my laptop would work, I would find out where he ranked on the player rater, but I'm losing.
I'll look for it for you. Don't worry. Let me get you that number.
This is such good radio. This is why we're, you know, everybody loves us and we have so many shows. Let's see here. He's number 40 among starting pitchers, and I think it's reasonable to rank him better next year. Him or Garrett Cole?
Now that's a good one. Cole has disappointed me a lot lately. I'll probably go Cole using the ballpark and National League circumstances, but that's a good head-to-head debate.
Samardzija.
So I'm just not a Samardzija guy at all. I'm not. The whip is – I mean, it was good this year, but it's always been a problem. And I think the Giants are going to bounce back. He'll probably contribute to that a little bit. I think I'd go for Bundy's upside here.
Zach Godley. It was really underrated.
Yeah, like, he really is.
Hasn't really stopped pitching well. His last outing wasn't so great. He's pitching again tonight. But, like, that's a good season for Zach Godley. That looks legit.
I think Bundy's 2018 could look like Godley's 2017, though. And I feel like Bundy's raw skill set is a little bit better than Godley's. That's a close one, too, though.
Okay. Any other talk from the weekend that you would like to discuss? Any other performances?
I want to celebrate what was a great year here, and I think he absolutely is back in the MVP, fantasy MVP conversation, is Aaron Judge. He got a lot of people into contention in the first place. I know there was the cold spell, but this month is very likely contributing to fantasy championships.
I agree. So I did least valuable players and got that out of the way today with the Cabrera news. At some point this week, I'll be summing up other spots like the best closer of the season and worst, and I'll do my, I don't know, I guess my top 20. I'll do a blog next Monday. Leo, I'm going to do a blog next Monday, top 20 for next year. we're having a show meeting, an editorial meeting during the show.
Approved.
But yeah, for fantasy most valuable player, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys who could be up for that. And one of them had a combo meal this weekend. Let's get to that.
Hey, it's a combo meal.
Four really interesting players had combo meals this weekend. I mean, four guys who are going to go definitely in the top 100. I think a couple of them, like one of them might go in round two. Another, all right, so here they are, four guys. You rank them for next year. Jose Ramirez, he should be first. Justin Upton, Brian Dozier, Ian Desmond. That's probably the order, right?
I also had Domingo Santana getting one.
Oh, I might have missed that. Since I was doing it while I was talking.
His was Thursday, so we can't really call it the weekend.
Okay.
But, yeah, some very interesting names. And let's throw Santana into that mix.
Yes. Rank these five guys.
I'm with you that I think it's Jose Ramirez. And, again, I'm leaning to the elite contact skills that he has. And he can contribute in all five of the fantasy categories. But I think Upton makes a very close case. I think Dozier makes a very close case. I'm going to go Ramirez, Dozier, Upton, Santana, and Desmond.
I knew you were going to do that. You don't like Ian Desmond, do you?
I do, but what exactly? Well, you know what? They're going to let
Carlos
Gonzalez go.
It's a 2020 guy in Coors Field.
Yeah, you're right. He probably does belong ahead.
And yes, he was hurt this year, but not the kind of injury that we think is going to plague him forever. He's probably their first baseman next year. I mean, Carlos Gonzalez isn't coming back, but they have David Dahl. They have Tapia. I don't know. I mean,
Tapia, yeah.
Right? I mean, they've got so many players. So Cargo's a lock to leave. Mark Reynolds is not getting 400 at bats next year. I think Desmond might be their first baseman.
He earned it let me check the contract situation.
I think it was one year.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I'm just saying, don't forget Ian Desmond next year. I think he'll be in my top 100. Domingo Santana will be up there as well. He's the number one Brewers hitter. And there's others that have had really good years. Shaw and Braun and, you know, you name it. So interesting stuff there.
Justin, what's more sound?
Yeah, what do you got? Trivia?
I don't want you to take me away from celebrating Aaron Judge. I've got some geeky stats for you.
Oh, okay.
The geeky stat of the day.
Holy freak out! The geek is going berserk!
And I started with, what is he next year?
Well, he's a Yankee, right? Yankee outfielder?
He's a tall Yankee outfielder.
He's really tall. Well, I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong, yeah. Yes. Yes.
I'll project two... Oh, man.
Exactly. That's exactly what is he?
I'm going to project 265, 42 home runs. Is that fair?
Very interesting you brought that up. Because,
I'm sure there is.
Yes. So five players entering this year in the history of baseball had 40-plus homers and struck out at least 30% of their trips to the plate. Chris Davis, the K, won the A's guy, is going to join Aaron Judge as the sixth and seventh to do that. Now, the five guys who did that previously in their follow-up seasons stayed right around the same in terms of K rate. They lost 1% of their home run rate, and they lost 50 points of isolated power. And if you apply those to Aaron Judge, he would finish next year with 41.3 homers.
Wow.
Yeah.
And hit 265.
And he would hit 255 if you applied the batting average drop of 26 points.
It's going to be tough to choose the fantasy MVP. Like, you make a good point on Judge. He's the number 12 player on the player radar. The number 20 player wasn't drafted in any leagues. It's going to be really tough people are going to say, that's ridiculous, Eric. How can you say Whit Merrifield over Aaron Judge? Well, you know, I can. That's a lot of stolen bases, a lot of batting average.
You're writing the column.
I think my point is, I mean, I could say anybody's. I could say Freddie Galvez is MVP. The point is, I think I can make a good case for Whit and Tommy Pham, by the way.
Certainly.
They were not drafted in leagues. They were free agents.
You can make a case for Luis Severino. You can make a case for Elvis Andrus.
Yes.
A lot of these players made some real waves this year.
Shocking numbers. All right. So we talked about the combo meals there. Now let's do a brief closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
Okay. Didn't see too many situations changing this week, and Brandon Morrow got a save, but he's obviously not their closer, and I don't think he'll get another one. Brandon Kinsler of Washington, but again, same situation, team that's already clinched. Yours Familia, I really think if he's healthy in March, he'll be the closer over A.J. Ramos. I don't know who gets the next save. I don't know if Terry Collins cares. But what do you think, like, you're in a deep league, and maybe you keep 10, and you want to keep a closer for next year. And I've talked on the show before about potential closers next year who are just aren't owned in any leagues, like Archie Bradley, who should be Arizona's closer next year. Familia or Ramos? I think Familia is going to be that guy, don't you?
I agree. I think that was the intent of the trade in the first place, was to align Ramos for the setup job. I think that they will open camp saying that it is an open competition, but that Familia is more than likely going to be the guy if he has no setbacks, no poor spring or anything like that. I'm with you. I definitely agree.
And then later this week, probably Thursday, that's closer day, I'll do my fantasy MVP and LVP as a closer. I don't know how Corey Knebel can't win it. I mean, what a monster year he's had.
What a season.
So, you know, and he's not letting up. And I hope there's a race. Like, the Angels lost almost every game this week, so the AL playoff picture is pretty much set.
Just about, except for one thing. I'm glad you mentioned the Angels.
Why is that?
Because if anyone's going to pull off the miracle finish, it's them with their schedule. They have one of the most unusually favorable schedules this week.
Please discuss.
Very favorable one where they are facing, let's see here, they've got four against the White Sox in Chicago, which is good for their hitters, and then they're playing Seattle at home for three, and Seattle's rotations had difficulty lasting in these games very far, so the Angels can load up in terms of offense, and that might lead to some saves. Let's go to them.
Blake Parker. Any other stuff for the relief pitchers you'd like to discuss?
No other guy really struck me from the past week as having shifted their value a great amount. I mean, I'm amazed at what Alex Claudio has done for the Rangers, though. I am.
Yeah, kept the job. Good for him.
Yeah.
Let's see. You know what? Before we do the weekend preview, let me read this. Guys, I got some interesting facts for you here from the folks at Gillette. Did you know the tip of a Gillette razor blade is measured on an atomic scale, meaning their blade edges are thinner than a single brain cell, and that precision is the work of many brain cells. The hundreds of members of Gillette's research and development team have spent over 4,700 years combined working to make your shave closer and more comfortable. And that's longer than the Egyptian pyramids have been around. And while over 1,000 craftsmen and women in Boston are busy making your blades, another team is putting your blades through more than 60 extremely strict and precise quality checks. Fail just one of these tests and it doesn't leave the factory. In other words, the hardworking people at Gillette never stop working to make your blades better. And now that includes the price tag. You can get Gillette blades at their lowest prices in years. See for yourself at GilletteOnDemand.com. Gillette, the best a man can get. Pricing applies to select products and is at the sole discretion of the retailer. It's my sole discretion to not use John Lester today. How about you? Last outing was terrible. No strikeouts, lots of runs. Doesn't look right to me. He's pitching at St. Louis. Obviously, the Cardinals need some wins here. Cubs are still trying to win, but I liked what Luke Weaver's done. I like that Cardinals lineup against a lefty. Do you agree?
I'd agree with that. Yeah, the Cardinals do have some righties with power who could cause some trouble for Lester. I think that there are going to be owners out there who have got to keep him in, but if you have the luxury in your mixed league, you can stream other guys around him. Yeah, I'd avoid him.
I'm one of those guys against you, Tristan.
What's the update on your race?
He pulled out to a huge lead this weekend.
Oh,
he
winning? Huge lead!
He's already won. He's collecting his praise from all of the pundits of this league. He's already won. He's doing
winners.
Isn't
he annoying?
Jeez.
You are so annoying. You're going to win that league again.
Oh, nobody loves me. It's true.
I think you've won enough, Tristan. Speaking as somebody who finished second a lot, I think you, good for you. Poor Leo. Let Leo win one.
It's 3 points. He's still well in this race. He was leading for, 95% of the season. In one day, he's trailing by 3 points.
In two very bad days, I went from 2 points up to 5.5 down. I don't know how that happened. All right. Other stuff for today's pitchers. There are day games, either way, but here are some pitchers of interest for the night games. Andrew Cashner against Houston. I can't recommend him, but, every start's a quality start, right? So why am I still not buying in? Tell me why.
Because a Houston matchup is not a favorable one, especially in a hitter-friendly ballpark like Texas.
I was going to say the strikeouts are a problem, but
right,
yes,
but that's
true.
That's bad for that park, then. If you're pitching a contact too much, then it's a bad park for it.
Zach Godley at home against the Giants. That figures to go well. Oh, look who's on the mound at Coors Field, Kyle. How excited are you for could be the last outing of the season? Because I don't know if Tyler Chatwood gets another start. Depends if they've already wrapped up the wild card.
Well, let's hope he gets pitching in the postseason so we get to watch postseason Road Chatwood and make everybody happy.
Oh
yeah, that one
he's
game
playoff. The wild card game.
can the Rockies beat Greinke in the one game wild card?
They got the right guy on the mound.
I can't believe you're picking Godley over Cueto.
Why? Oh, because Arizona's going to have a makeshift lineup because
they
clinched yesterday.
Yep.
You know, I thought about that before I recommend Godley for building blocks, but like, are they going to sit everybody? And you know, some of their guys off the bench are pretty good too. You're right potentially. Although I think Cueto checked out in like June. So that's another problem here. But, yeah, you can make the case for Cueto. You would actually take Cueto tonight over Godley in DFS if the prices were the same.
Well, the price is pretty low. He also had a pretty decent outing the last time. He had a quality start, almost got through seven innings. I like
okay. On Tuesday, hey, there's a game on ESPN. How about that? It's the defending champs at St. Louis, Jake Arrieta and Carlos Martinez. Ooh, rank them for next season. Where are you putting them?
I'm putting Martinez ahead of Arrieta for next year.
Is either in the top 10?
I really want to make the top 10 case for Martinez. He didn't really earn it. He might get there just because I'm not wild about the guys at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, it seems to me like you got your big four, and then probably Greinke, Bumgarner, Verlander I think might be there.
Yeah.
Archer, Darvish.
Yeah.
So I don't know about top 10 for Carlos Martinez, but Arrieta scares me, and he could leave, which scares me. Depends where he goes. No day games on Tuesday, it doesn't appear. Chris Sale's pitching. Might be his last outing of the regular season if he wants to win the Cy Young over
Likely
Kluber.
Likely to be, because that division's over.
Right, and Kluber pitched on Sunday, so he'll probably get one more start this week, but it might be like four or five innings, right?
Yep.
So
they
would you
pulled Clevinger from the rotation this week.
How do you handle the final week of the season? So you're in a weekly, and you're trying to beat Leo. And say you got Kluber. What do you do?
Depends
on who else you have.
Yeah, it's gonna. Well, the quality of innings he gives you, even if they keep him on a pitch count, are going to be better than most of the alternatives. So for me, I'd keep Kluber in there. But you need to estimate. I would estimate that every guy out there, with the exception of the five I mentioned, the forecaster, are getting one start, and just make the decision based on that.
Blake Snell, Yankee Stadium. Blake Snell seems to have emerged since his latest demotion to the minors. Don't you agree?
I have been impressed by what he's done. I still have some worries in the whip category going into next year, but this was an important step forward for him in the control department.
Have you seen what Daniel Mingden has done with his great mustache on the mound for the Oakland Athletics of late?
Oh, guys, I'll catch you later. See ya.
What do you mean?
Bye.
This is a sore spot. This is Tristan's waiver manipulations keeping Daniel Mingden from
Is he cheating in the league?
Yeah,
no, I had more fab.
Is he cheating?
But this is the two start value I like
right,
for this
right,
week.
Right. He was my top waiver claim, and of course I have no fab. I haven't since like April, and Tristan got him. So
last two outings for Daniel Mingden, both on the road, not against powerhouse offenses. Detroit, which checked out a while ago. Philadelphia, which never checked in. 16 innings, 9 hits, nary a walk or a run, and 11 strikeouts. So Mingden's pitching well. And there was no, like, harbinger that was going to happen. Let's make that clear. Didn't pitch well at AAA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he's doing it.
Quality use of nary there.
You know what? Every time I do that, you seem to point that out.
Especially good quality of it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. I think he's a guy I'm going to recommend. I'm going to have to do tomorrow's building blocks today. Of course, Soppy gets it first, but he'll probably just go with a Colorado pitcher anyway.
I'll try, bro.
It's called dibs.
You can't pass up that mustache. That's a tough sell.
It's a quality mustache. Alex Wood for the Dodgers. We trust him? It's against the Padres. I guess we have to.
For this game, you know what? I think it is in the interest of the Dodgers to try and get him right for the postseason. So I think they do allow him to pitch a regular outing here. I think it's the weekend series I think the weekend series is going to be an ugly one in terms of what they.
I don't know why they want to get him right. I mean, he throws so well from his left. Let's see here. Nobody's listening.
You are in rare form today, Mr. Carabao.
It doesn't even matter anymore. We can do whatever we want. Leo's not listening.
Oh, boy.
Wednesday. Oh, my goodness. Look at this.
Yes.
A triple header of games on our network.
No. No.
I wouldn't make that up. Oh. Trust me. This is true, and
yes.
It's marvelous.
Love it.
So, let's go in order. Battle of Texas at 2 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. Oh, it's Justin Verlander. So awesome. Against Nick Martinez. Doesn't seem like such a fair fight
fair.
To me.
Totally fair.
Then at 7 p.m., look at this. John Lackey and Michael Waka Waka Waka. And I wouldn't recommend either of those fellows. Would you? I think you would.
No.
Muppet wouldn't do that.
If I would, it would be Waka. But no.
And then, really late at night, well after Tristan goes to sleep, Clayton, Richard, and Rich Hill, a battle of left-handers at 10 p.m. Eastern time.
I'm young. My day starts then.
All right. So, you know, anybody there you want to talk about?
Nope. None of the ones from those games stand out other than what we just went through, but let's throw another game in there. What do you say?
Whatever you like. We can do whatever we want today.
Danny Salazar is getting a spot start here against the
How Twins. Can you possibly go with him?
It's interesting here because this is his audition for the postseason.
Isn't he in the bullpen in the postseason?
No, they put Clevinger in the bullpen. They're actually trying to decide between Ryan Merritt, Danny Salazar, and Josh Tomlin, who's the
You know why they can get away with that? Because Salazar, for three or four innings, should be great. You can get away with that.
Yeah.
Clevinger has kind of a rubber arm. He doesn't need more than 3 days rest. So
with Salazar.
Exactly. Or the lefty Merritt doesn't throw hard. I kind of like that. Like, it makes sense to me.
Merritt did pitch pretty well in Toronto, too. I'll give him that. But
Garrett
Richards
is on the mound.
Salazar is shooting for the K's here.
Garrett Richards at the White Sox. That could be fun.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it. Looks good.
Looks good. Oh, Mark Leiter Jr. I never miss a Mark Leiter Jr. outing, and neither should you. But alas, we have more important business to tend to, ladies and gentlemen. Because Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Its mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Tristan, you can take like 5 minutes now.
Okay.
Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. As a result, seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, they are reducing food waste. And cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or at high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal, like summer vegetable and egg paninis with Calabrian chili mayonnaise and caprese salad, soy-glazed pork and rice cakes with bok choy and marinated green beans, skillet vegetable chili with cornmeal and cheddar drop biscuits, garlic butter shrimp, and corn with green bean salad and roasted purple tomatoes. Sounds good. Affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. Customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options so you can choose what fits your needs. And there's no weekly commitment, so you can only get deliveries when you want them. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FFB. That's Frank Barney. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/FFB. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right. We got some good questions here, Kyle.
We sure do. Twitter Nation has always been good to us, and we appreciate all the questions. It's been a good year and a lot of
it's
people.
It's always good to us. Twitter Nation never does
never.
Anything.
It's part of the
never
internet.
Never had a problem there reading things that are positive. And
Twitter Nation's
friendly.
Nice to us.
Certainly not Nicholas. He would never lie to us. He wants to know what you think of Keon Broxton for 2018. He's one of eight players to go 20-20 right now, but he also leads all qualified batters with a 37.5 strikeout rate.
He read my blog entry. I said the exact same thing. Eighth guy of 2020 and the high K rate.
He's a company Twitter follower.
He might be. Yes. I don't even know if my thing is posted yet. So Broxton, I had him in a keeper. And midseason, despite trying to win, I actually traded him away. I thought, he's not a good keeper. I'm not even sure he's going to play regularly next year. Like, the Brewers have to see what they have in Lewis Brinson. Maybe or maybe not they trade Ryan Braun. I don't know who's taking him. Santana is their best offensive player based on the player rater. I also have Brett Phillips, who laughs a lot and can hit a little. So I don't think Keon Broxton googled Brett Phillips.
I know. That was awesome.
The way he laughs is fantastic.
Second to none. Just like Mengden's mustache.
Yeah, they'd go well together. So I would say Keon Broxton worries me. Like I could see like a VR type thing happening to him next year.
I agree with that. I look, the thing that gets me about Broxton is that can you make the defensive case here? And the defensive metrics aren't strong enough to keep him in there every day. This is a little bit like the Kevin Pillar thing where he's overrated with the bat, except the defense is so great. Broxton doesn't have that. And I'm with you. I think he's too variable in terms of strikeout rate. Doesn't quite walk enough. This year, that was a big downturn in production. I'm with you. I think he might end up being a fourth outfielder next year.
I think he has to be. So, all right.
They tried to bench him as is.
He barely played in the second half anyway. He had a lot of these numbers in the first half.
Yeah, the boomer bust kind of guy. Don't disagree with that. Zach wants to know what you're expecting out of Strasburg in his Friday start against Pittsburgh. He's in a winner quality start league. Can you trust him to go that deep into the game?
The reason why I think maybe yes is because he probably won't pitch again for like a week, right? When's game two of Washington series? Friday? The following Friday?
I believe, yeah, the NL would start on Friday. Yeah, because the AL starts Thursday, the NL starts Friday.
So he's not pitching again for 8 days. He's game two.
Right. Well, probably. Actually, he might be game three.
Might be game three because Gio Gonzalez had a... You know, Gio Gonzalez leads all pitchers in WAR in the National League. He's ahead of Scherzer.
Not entirely shocked by that. Not entirely shocked. He's had a very good
year. Had a very good year.
I'm also not entirely sure what they're going to do to that rotation during the weekend because they're throwing A.J. Cole in there today, so that's changing the order a bit. What order are they going to throw those guys out there? Are they going to put them in the order they'll pitch in the division series?
All fair. I
Five Look, innings of a good matchup. That's what
the,
it is.
The league that I can still win but will most likely finish in the second, and I can't bench anybody. So if I had Strasburg, I wouldn't sit him. I can't imagine I would sit Strasburg even in any other league. Would you?
No. I mean, he's too good here. But again, it's probably one start, and it's five innings.
It's five good innings. Maybe right. Six if the pitch count is low. I leave him active.
With you there.
Seems like consensus. Me and Sarah Jane are
Oh, yes. Oh, love yeah. that album, Abacab.
And a... Very popular Twitter follower. He or she, I don't know, is always...
It's a he. He's a nice, he seems like a nice guy. You know what? I don't know. Maybe I should look.
Well, you're assuming based on the internet, like you told me not to do, but he...
Ooh, that's not very nice.
Well, no, but he does seem like a nice guy, and he's very interactive. He wanted to thank you guys for a great season, but he didn't want to let you go without one more question. It's Reese Hoskins. He's regressing lately. What's your early 2018 projection? And I've got Brian Dozier's numbers lined up if you want to go over, under.
Brian Dozier?
Well, we got 99 runs.
Under.
Tristan?
For Hoskins?
That's yeah. a lot.
It is a lot. And on that team in that lineup.
So he's going under. 32
Well,
homers.
That lineup's not so bad anymore, but 99 runs. I mean, how many players in baseball are we going to project for more?
For a cleanup hitter there, who's batting 5, 6, 7, 8?
Michael Franco is going to break out next year and be Nolan Hour. I can't even finish this.
You sentence. Can't even do that. He's not even ploofish anymore.
He's not even playing anymore. All right.
By the way, what we're saying that he's hit a slump. I mean, what, in the past 10 minutes?
Who, Franco?
No, Hoskins.
Well, he's batting like 150 in the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, he has kind of hit a slump.
He's in a 10-game slump.
I mean, to me, I'm going to project Jose Abreu's numbers. Like around 300 with 32 homers and 100 RBI. That's what I'm going to project. Not a ton of runs, no stolen bases. I mean, Dozier's not a good comp because the batting average and the steals don't work. So to me, the comp is Jose Abreu. I still feel like I'll project Hoskins maybe a little below Jose Abreu in batting average. So I might have Abreu higher because that's a consistent guy for 4 years, whereas one guy did it for 2 months. I think now I would take Abreu over Hoskins. I think I have to.
Mm-hmm. I would too. I'm going to bump the batting average a few points below, and I'm going to bump the power potential a little bit higher, but in the end, they get pretty close to each other.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, I'm team Abreu in that one. It sounds like you guys are too.
And thank you, me and Sarah Jane, for making me think of Genesis and Abacab whenever you send us a tweet that we use. He actually tweeted us, thanks for a super season. It was great. We really enjoyed it as well. Thank you. Almost done. And it was a good ride, you know, and what a long, strange trip it's been, you know.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's a lyric or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about it? Look at that. Look at that.
It is.
Getting the hang of this.
It's not Jay-Z, Kyle. Oh, wait, he's probably before your time.
Hey, I said lyric. I didn't specify what. Baby steps here. So me and Sarah Jane might be our Twitter MVP. Herbotus13 on Twitter. He wants to challenge Eric's declaration of Whit Merrifield as MVP with Tommy Pham. You mentioned it earlier. make the case for Merrifield over Pham or vice versa?
I think they're pretty even right now. I mean, those are five category guys, right? I mean, neither were drafted in any leagues. Both, well, Merrifield is eligible at second, and he added outfield. Pham, I mean, a little more power, a little less speed. It's going to be tough. Actually, it's probably, you know what, Pham has more runs. It might actually be Pham. I mean, also, there's 6 or 7 games left. I mean, I guess it could change a little bit. Like, your point about Aaron Judge, I don't know how much I take that into consideration, what he's done the last couple weeks. I should, probably. He's helped people win titles. Well, so is Tommy Pham. He's batting like 330 in September with power and speed. Tommy Pham, in his last 30 games, is batting 330 with 6 home runs, 19 ribs, 7 steals. I mean, talk about Judge. Judge doesn't run. You know, I might lose this league because I didn't have enough steals, because Eduardo Nunez didn't play the last 2 weeks, because Odubel Herrera stole only 8 bases. You know, Charlie Blackman, for all we praised him, stole only 8 bases. That's it.
No, I'm not criticizing him.
I'm not criticizing him. I wouldn't be in second place without him. But, oh no, he has 13. So I don't know what I was looking at. But I kind of expected more than 13 steals. I also didn't expect 134 runs. My goodness.
By the way, I have no right to say positive things about Tommy Pham because, here, roll the bus over myself here. Squish. I picked him up in a points league in the week he had Coors Field. He hit the 2 home runs. It was a matchup play, and then I let him go after the week.
You know, I was going to bid on him in our Otnu league, and I didn't do it. I don't know why. I had the shot at him. He went really cheap. I learned a lot in that league this year. You know, we didn't win. Our friend Tom, the intern, who is safe, by the way, after the Florida nightmare. Tom, the intern, is going to win our debut Otnu League, beating out our friend Scotty Spratt, who now works for Pro Football Focus and does a great job there. So, terrific work. And then you and me are 3rd and 4th, but you're probably going to finish 3rd. So, but it was fun.
I need Kluber to throw me some more innings.
Do you have Kluber and
Sale? Sale and Verlander.
Yeah, I can't really compete with that. Like,
and Severino.
I had Bumgarner. I spent like $60 on Madison Bumgarner. It's hard to overcome an injury like that.
This is the Dave Schoenfield staff.
How did we let you have that?
Yeah, the joke we have here is that Dave Schoenfield in our office dynasty league has pretty much the entire top 10 starting pitchers.
How did that happen?
He drafted them 10 years ago. I mean,
we haven't been playing that long, but
he did like in one of the first tiers. He
is up 6 Kershaw. Points on AJ Mass. I'm in 3rd. His pitching is unbelievable. Kershaw, Bumgarner, Scherzer, Sale, Rich Hill. He had Irvin Santana this year. My goodness.
And he drafted a lot of those players.
Wait, so he has 4 of the top 5 starting pitchers?
Yeah.
My God. He had Harper, too. He still won. All right, that's probably, we're getting off track here.
We got into it a little bit earlier.
What was the question?
It was Pham.
That was Pham or Merrifield.
I think right now it might be Pham over Merrifield, but I want to see what happens. I want to research it a little bit more. And Judge will be there, too, but...
Can we get the metrics on that? Because I think that also would come down to when people picked him up and whether they used him for a greater majority of weeks. I'm going to bet more people...
I don't know how you're going to get that information. It's football season, Tristan. I don't know if you're aware.
No. My gut feel on it is that I think people got on board with Pham. By the way, I knew within 4 or 5 days that it was a mistake to have cut Pham. He was my 7th outfielder. I couldn't keep him on the bench. So we're talking about June 1st. Most people were on board. Was it that early for Merrifield?
No, I don't feel like it was. I don't feel like it was.
I mean,
that's irrelevant also. I mean, like, Merrifield fit into a... You know, what's more valuable, the middle infield spot in a 10-team league or the 5th outfielder spot?
I think more weeks is much more important.
Right, but between those two positions, if you take away how long they were relevant. I mean, you almost can make the case that a 5th outfielder, like, is harder to find a good one than a good middle infielder these days. I think I can make that case pretty easily.
You whatever. Could. The scarcity is still overrated. I'm with you there.
All right. What else we got?
Piggybacking off that, I think we now know Tristan's worst move of the season. Chris wanted to know what your best and or worst move of the 2017 fantasy season is.
You know what?
Wasn't my worst move.
I know my worst move is after if I just had gotten JD Martinez in that league, I think I would have won. I ended up spending all my money on Darvish, who I didn't need, and that was proven. I needed to trade Darvish right away. That's my worst move. There were teams that would have bought. There were other teams paying attention at the time. I could have done it. I couldn't make the case on September 1st, but I could have. That's my worst move. I don't know if it's anybody that I dropped. I can't think of anybody. Let me look at the player radar and see if there's anybody obvious who I dropped. But, like, getting Darvish and then not immediately trading him, and I knew right away I didn't need him, but, like, I had to do it. Your worst move is probably dropping Pham, right?
No way.
What is your worst move?
My worst move was trading DJ LeMahieu for Matt Harvey in April. NL-only local team, local league. I spent absolutely nothing on pitching. I did the age-old, practically spent a dollar on each starting pitching position. Desperately needed a starting pitcher, had extra infielders. DJ LeMahieu was not needed, and I traded him for Matt Harvey and finished 7th out of 9th. For some strange reason, in my AL and my NL-only home leagues, those are the two leagues I just perpetually stink in those.
I have
really
made...
great in the others. I won the league that Pham was cut.
Only you could make a move like that and still win the league. Right? I mean,
I'll thank
ridiculous.
Corey Kluber.
I made a trade in my oldest league, which I'm now going to unfortunately have to drop out of for various reasons, in which I traded away, and I did it basically for money purposes, not like fake salaries, but like real money. I would have had to pay like, I don't know, like $40 in actual, you know, real money for Craig Kimbrell, who I've had since before he was even in the majors, and Yu Darvish. I traded those two guys away for Carlos Martinez, Danny Duffy, and Kelvin Herrera. And I thought at the time, it makes sense. We all thought Kimbrel was going to be like last year's version, not like have his best season ever. Kelvin Herrera was terrible. Duffy missed a bunch of time on the DL. And Carlos Martinez, I would say, is actually more disappointing than great. Like, I expected more. Darvish hasn't been so great either, but just trading away Kimbrel, just a dumb move.
I think it's a little harsh on Herrera.
Herrera did not have a good year.
He contributed, but it was...
He gave me some saves, but he, you know, it was a dumb move. You know, whenever you're trying to save real money, that stuff like that happens. You know, that's how I ended up with Pujols, and I never got rid of him in that league. Drafting Pujols was dumb. He's been the worst player in real baseball, right?
Kyle, what was yours? Best worst?
I kept DJ LeMahieu, if we're going to keep going that route. I was really buying the batting average in Coors, and not that he's been awful, but I was looking for some growth, and I just haven't been... Haven't been impressed with him at all.
Did we even do best move, Eric?
You know what? That doesn't seem appropriate. I mean,
pat yourself on the back. We're giving you.
It's hard to think of best. I have a hard time thinking of best. You remember the mistakes.
I know some things that I got right. I got a lot more right than wrong this season. I'll say that. And if anybody's still listening to the show in the last week of September, they know that. I mean, really. I mean, we don't need to pat ourselves on the back. Knebel, I was dead on. I feel good about that.
You are, yeah.
And I had him on a bunch of teams. Trevor Rosenthal, I was right about. Until, you know, his arm fell off, almost literally. I mean, I was wrong about Kimbrel. I was right about other closers. I didn't think Aaron Judge would do this, but I did think Jose Ramirez would. I ranked him really well. I know that. I was never on Andrews. I didn't expect that. I certainly didn't expect Rhys Hoskins to do this. I have no shares of Hoskins in any team, fantasy or sim, which is hard to believe.
Wow.
I didn't think he'd do this.
You're working on it, though, I noticed.
Nah, I think it's more fun if I don't get him. And what else?
Chase is better than the reward. Is that what we're hearing?
You know what? I don't like investing in Phillies that much anymore.
I know.
Because then, like, when they're bad, they disappoint you twice.
Rick Porcello will be better than Tyler Chatwood.
Hmm.
By the way, did you know how many quality starts that Rick Porcello has this year? I am shocked.
A lot, probably, right?
I'm sure,
yes.
A bunch, yeah.
He was, I believe he was in the top 15 in quality starts last I checked. Yeah, he is. He is tied for 15th with 19 quality starts.
Impressive.
Four up the lead.
Impressive for a guy that's not a quality pitcher.
Wow. It just seems like it's personal now. Like,
no, I agree with him. It was not a quality year. I'm shocked by that number.
And you agree with me it sounds personal, too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's kind of assumed. But at this point, Leo wanted to know how you guys were spending Rocco Baldelli's birthday.
This is big news, guys. This is...
Oh, right, Rays fan. I didn't even think of that.
Fantastic.
I love the guy. He's one of the nicest guys, too.
Really, really is. He's a horse breeder now, in addition to first base coach, I believe, for the Rays.
Really?
Really diverse interests for that guy. But he was so fun. Like, it's a shame that his career was cut short, because he was really good. Five-tool player. But it also raised an interesting point of the 2003 AL Rookie of the Year voting. Trista, do you remember who won the 2003 AL Rookie of the Year? Or
I
Eric?
Believe that was Angel Baroa over Hideki Matsui.
It was. It was indeed.
What is wrong with you? How do you know that?
More impressed with the trivia or the answer?
I figured the Matsui tie-in would be the reason why it might stand out for Tristan.
Yeah, I will never forget that because it's the one time we said, oh, you know, he's not really a rookie.
Right.
We decided that one time.
I'm also frustrated that Baroa won over Baldelli because they had very similar numbers, but the Royals just won 20 more games, and I assume that that's why
he got more votes. That's the Scotty Pesednik year.
It was. Dontrell Willis, yeah. Scotty Pesednik.
Willis won it over Pesednik?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I remember Baroa's war was not good that year.
No, the five top vote getters for AL Rookie of the Year, according to Baseball Reference, all had mid-2s wars.
Okay. The Rookie of the Year lists are pretty strange. I remember Bob Hamlin won one of them.
Well, speaking of Angel Baroa, it's National One Hit Wonder Day. How about that?
All right. What's your favorite one hit wonder?
Mambo number 5, not close.
Wow.
You're not old enough for that.
Wow.
That was like way before
you were born. Let me look up the year. That wasn't a way before. That was in my...
I'm going to guess 98.
I'm going to bet that was in the same year as the most remembered one hit wonder, Tub Thumping. Everybody
play that for us?
Thumping. Yeah, you know it. I get knocked down.
Oh, okay.
But I get
cool.
up again.
Didn't know the name of it. Yeah.
I think we have a show Thursday, but make sure on Twitter and right. send in any questions you have, and Kyle will read them on the second half of Thursday's show. Thank you so much for listening to our show really all season long. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll have a show Thursday and next Monday as well. Mishu, can we do a show next Monday? You have time?
We will be here. I have time. Very busy schedule, but for you guys, I open up the schedule.
He's the best producer in the business. All right. We're done for today. For Tristan and Kyle the Monster and Mishu and Leo and everybody else who makes this show great, I'm Eric. Have an awesome day. Everything is awesome.
Deep fried.